Amir Jumayel, thank you very much for joining Press TV's Face to Face.
You are welcome.
Yesterday, I went to the Christian area. Everywhere I went, I saw the pictures of your son, Pierre.
Yes.
My first question to you, who did kill your son?
You know, it's a very difficult period for the Lebanese people, and we still celebrate the martyrdom of several leaders, Lebanese leaders, assassinated during this dirty war. And we still are suffering, and my family especially, we suffered a lot. We lost four members of our close family. And this month or this week is the anniversary of the assassination of my son Pierre, assassinated in 2006. And for us, it's a souvenir, first of all, to remember this big sacrifice, and then also to take the energy, the hope to continue to pursue our efforts to preserve the independence, the sovereignty, and liberty and democracy in Lebanon. It's very essential for the Lebanese to remember that we have to pay a very, very heavy price to preserve our dignity, our sovereignty, our independence. And that's why that is the symbol, it means the symbol of this anniversary.
Who do you think killed your son?
So,
because you outright just accused Syria at that time. I can clearly remember.
No, I didn't. I didn't accuse anybody. We are still waiting for the inquiry. The International Court helped a little bit in the investigation, but unfortunately, until now, we don't have any evidence. We don't have any indication concerning the author of this assassination until now.
We don't know what happened. You don't have any thoughts. You can't.
So, we don't want to. I don't want to elaborate until we have clear evidence.
Sure. I mentioned Syria. Actually, it was in the media that you accused Syria of being behind that. But the situation in Syria today and the relationship between Syria and Lebanon. Very difficult days for Syria and perhaps for Lebanon. How do you see the power vacuum that we see today in Lebanon having an impact on the situation on the ground in Syria?
First of all, surely that Syria is not the regime, the Syrian regime is not completely innocent from what is happening in Lebanon during the past years. We know that Syria was deeply involved in the Lebanese crisis, and the Syrian role wasn't at all positive during this period of time. And now our suffering also, what's going on in Lebanon is suffering a lot because what's going on in Syria. First of all, the flow of refugees, Syrian refugees coming into Lebanon, perturbing the real perturbation of the whole situation in Lebanon. We are to suffer economically, security-wise, and on national level also, have to suffer a lot because of the huge number of refugees, Syrian refugees who came into Lebanon during this period of time. We count about 1.5 million. It means the 35 to 40% of the Lebanese population. It's a huge, something Lebanon couldn't at all afford. But we are dealing with those refugees as our brothers, and it's our duty to handle the humanitarian aspect of this problem. But to be fair, it's a very heavy burden, and I don't know whether Lebanon could afford to absorb such a number of refugees. In the meantime, it's our hope that we can find, the international community could find as soon as possible a political settlement for what's going on in Syria. What's going on is something unbearable. The death, the destructions, the humanitarian aspect, it's really a disaster, not only for Syria, but also for the Arab world.
But the United States, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Turkey, they're pushing for a military solution. You're against this?
Since the beginning, I was pleading the political settlement in Syria, because nobody could win the war, such kind of civil war, such kind of dirty war. Nobody can win. They have to take the conclusion, finally, to understand that only a political solution could solve the problem. And we need to reunite Syria and to reestablish stability in Syria, to have a democratic state respecting the human rights and other rules. I, from the beginning, from 2011, openly I was pleading for a political solution for the Syrian crisis.
Do you think the United States, Saudi Arabia, Turkey, and Qatar, which are supporting the militancy in Syria right now, are concerned about democracy over there, or they have other concerns, like the government of President Bashar al-Assad?
If you want to bring back stability and peace in Syria, I don't think that you can think outside democracy and freedom. The democracy in Lebanon, in Syria, and to give to the Syrian people the right to express their will and to elect their rulers freely, not under duress. That's the condition, the real condition for the stability and peace in Syria.
What's your take on the military position that the United States, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and Turkey are taking in Syria today? What you say makes sense. Democracy comes through ballot boxes, not through guns and tanks. But what we're seeing today is very different. What's your message to those countries?
So my message is clear. I said it very clearly. The political settlement, that we need to find the reconciliation and to have...
The outsiders or the people inside Syria?
For the whole Syrians, inside and outside, should cooperate. And there is actually a mission, an international mission with Mr. Mistura, doing a lot of contacts in Syria and outside Syria to find out, to elaborate a kind of peaceful settlement for Syria. Also we have to take into consideration the essential condition, which is to have a democratic government in Syria, a reconciled and democratic government in Syria. This is a precondition. I know that it's not very, very easy. It's a pious wish, maybe. But in fact, at a certain stage, when the various parties will be tired enough and exhausted, at that time, they will understand, everybody will understand, the opposition and the people close to the government will understand that they're to survive, to rebuild Syria, the only way will be to reconcile and to have a democratic government in Syria.
So you're calling for a Syrian-Syrian dialogue?
Maybe it's not immediate in the near future, but I think that the Syrian people are experiencing very, very, very difficult times, and this mass of destruction, of death, of despair in Syria should lead at a certain stage the people toward such kind of solution. Maybe for the time being it's not ripe for this solution, but at a certain stage I think that everybody will understand clearly that the only way out is the reconciliation. We had this experience in Lebanon too. At a certain stage, we thought that we can win the battle, but finally we understood that the only way is to find a common ground, a modus vivendi, to find a compromise, a fair compromise, where everybody could be comfortable.
Which is now very much lacking in your country. You said very clearly that you are for a political solution in Syria, yes. And you're very much against the military option remaining on the table any longer. So what do you make of the foreign support that those terrorists are receiving in Syria? Because we all know, and you know from the history of Lebanon, that militants and people who take up arms against a government or against another group, they need logistical support, they need money, they need weapons. Where do you think they're getting their weapons from?
We know very well that a lot of countries were involved in fueling the wars in Syria and elsewhere too, in Yemen or in many other countries. But let us talk about Syria. We know very well that it's not only a Syrian issue. It's not only a domestic issue. We know very well the influence of several parties, their involvement, military involvement, political involvement, and intelligence involvement. But in the meantime, I think that the lot of parties began to understand that it's useless to pursue such kind of adventure. And the meetings taking place internationally are the evidence that maybe they began to understand that we need a political settlement.
Do you think personally that Israel is in one way or another involved in the Syrian issue right now?
It's the first beneficiary of what's going on in the Arab world. I can't elaborate on that. I don't have the facts. But for sure that if you look at the reality, Israel is taking advantage of what's going on in the Arab world, in Syria, in Yemen, and elsewhere.
So those people who are fueling the war in Syria are, at the end of the day, benefiting Israel?
Sure. It's not a secret.
Yeah, and do you consider Israel as Lebanon's top enemy?
So we're still at war. There is between Lebanon and Israel an armistice agreement signed in 1949, but we're still in state of war.
So Israel is your enemy?
Israel, we are still in the state of war between Lebanon and Israel.
And do you agree with those people who say that Hezbollah is the one that is defending Lebanon together with the army?
Our position is very clear. Only the Lebanese army is capable to defend Lebanon. And all the national effort should combine within the Lebanese army to defend Lebanon. And we can't, it's not at all in the interest of the nation, it's not at all the national interest to have several groups behaving independently on Lebanese soil to defend Lebanon. We should have only one resistance within the Lebanese army establishment.
But Lebanon won the war in 2006. Do you think if it was the army only, would it still be able to win the war?
So I don't want to elaborate on that. I'm taking just a question of principles. In any country, it's a question of sovereignty. You can't talk about national sovereignty when there are on the same soil, in the same country, several armies behaving independently. So this is a question of principle. If you have good faith, you have to join the Lebanese army, to help the Lebanese armies. All those who have the means to defend their countries, it should be within the army institution and under the leadership of the Lebanese army. It's a question of sovereignty, it's a question of principle, it's a question of Lebanese interest, deep interest, essential interest, that there should be only one army on the Lebanese soil, one command, one objectives, and one strategy. We can't talk about sovereignty of the country when you have several armies behaving independently on the same soil.
So if Hezbollah defended Lebanon in 2006 against Israel, do you think that safeguarded Lebanon's national security?
I don't want to go into the details, and because here we have to argue concerning the who started the war and what is the reason of this war. So maybe let us stick to the essential, to the principles. Not,
which you made it very clear.
Not going into the details.
Sure. Let's talk about domestic politics in Lebanon. You accused Hezbollah and Michel Aoun of pushing the country towards a, quote, fatal vacuum.
I am not accusing anybody. I just say
it was. I'm just quoting from Ashar al-Awsat, an article on Ashar al-Awsat, quoting you of saying
I'm
that.
I'm saying very clearly that some members of the parliament are obstructing the democratic process in obstructing the presidential election in the parliament, obstruction the quorum in the parliament. And the main parties obstructing the quorum in the parliament to elect the new president are the Hezbollah groups, parliamentary group, and the Aoun's parliamentary group. Those two groups are obstructing the democratic process in preventing the quorum in the parliament.
Why are they doing that? Why do you think they're
doing
that?
I don't know. It's against the constitution, Lebanese constitution, and it's against political traditions in Lebanon, where since 1943, the independence of Lebanon, that the first time we are experiencing such kind of obstruction, while the duty of the various parliamentary groups, their duty is to go to the parliament to elect the president. Maybe if there is some difficulties on the first term, they can consult within the hemicycle of the parliament and to get a compromise to elect a new president. And it was the tradition in Lebanon. But we didn't experience any time in Lebanon such kind of obstruction of the quorum for the elections of the President of the Republic. We consider that it's against the interests of the country, against the democracy, and against the deep interest of the Lebanese entity to keep Lebanon for 1 year and a half without a president. The vacuum in the presidential election is very, very destructive. Is kind of suicide for the Lebanese politics. That's why there is no excuses for those who are obstructing the presidential democratic process.
Do you think it's got anything to do with the Taif Accord? Do you think they want to reform or perhaps change it?
The constitution itself, the Lebanese constitution itself, mentioned the way that how to improve, how to change the constitution. We have the means within the constitution to change the constitution. But what we are experiencing now is the obstruction to the constitution, not the improvement of the constitution. It's not through this way that you can improve the constitution, improve the Lebanese political system. You have to go through the system, through the procedure, the legal and constitutional procedure to change the constitution. But what you are experiencing now is the obstruction of the constitution. It's a kind of suicide. It's a kind of, I mean what I'm saying, it's a kind of plot, a coup against the constitution to block the constitution as such. We are using the quorum to obstruct the quorum and to obstruct the parliamentary democratic process.
Are you hoping that the situation is going to change anytime soon?
It should be. It should be. With the minimum of conscience, the various parties.
Because you talked about compromise and political solution in Syria. Is that what you are practicing at home? I mean, all the political parties?
Since 1943, the independence of Lebanon, we are practicing such kind of policy, such kind of...
No, I'm talking about the compromise you're talking about.
Such kind of
the compromise. Because according to the Taif Accord, it's just Christians and Muslims, power-sharing deal, the power-sharing formula. But what I can understand from the situation on the ground in Lebanon, the political situation, there are those forces who want this to be changed, perhaps Shias, Sunnis, and Christians. And the Shias are in the majority. So we're talking about the majority wanting
You can't say a
greater sharing power.
You can't say this community is a majority or the minority. Lebanon, you can't deal as such. We are a mosaic in Lebanon. There is no, you can't talk about majority. This community is a majority and this community is a minority. It's not a question of majority and minority. You have 17 or 18 communities in Lebanon. So Lebanon is a kind of mosaic. You can't consider that because this community is a majority or a minority, they should behave differently. Lebanon is a mosaic of communities. Lebanon is a democracy. We have our traditions. As I've said, since many decades, we are practicing such kind of democracy, and it worked very, very well, as long as there is a comprehensive approach for our several issues. And what's going on, as I've said, is an obstruction. It's not a political and democratic process. And for the time being, as you have said, there is an alliance between the Christian and the Shia, between the Michel Aoun and the Hezbollah. So it means that it's not a problem of Sunni and Shia or Christians. But the problem is those two parties are obstructing a democratic process, a traditional parliamentary democratic process in Lebanon, which worked very, very well since 1943 and before. And now, unfortunately, for the first time, you have such kind of experience where two parties are obstructing the quorum in the parliament, preventing the elections of the president. And this approach is, I insist, suicidal approach.
Issue of the Saudi support for certain political groups in Lebanon has been around for a while. Many people say Saudi Arabia is using its money to win some political support or make some political changes in Lebanon. Have you ever been approached by somebody from Saudi Arabia? Have they ever offered money to you or to people, to other members of your party?
You know, in Lebanon, I think that, I don't know, maybe in the United Nations, there are 180 nations, maybe. And 180 nations used to interfere in the Lebanese affairs. Some helping politically and with arms, with ammunition, with several other means. So unfortunately, it's, I think, the same in Syria for the time being. So many countries are involved. You can't mention all those countries involved in the Syrian war or in the Lebanese affairs before that. So the blame, we put the blame on many countries where take advantage of the Lebanese democracy and freedom to interfere in our domestic affairs and to provoke the dissensions to improve the divisions within the Lebanese society. So unfortunately, a lot of countries interfered in our domestic affairs, in national affairs, and provoking such kind of divisions and crises.
Yeah, but my particular point
that's
is the Saudi
answer.
Money.
That's
okay,
my
sure,
answer.
Sure. I mean, Jumail, thank you very much.
You're welcome.